Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got my friend Jesse filling in for Brian this afternoon. And Jesse, this is one of the things I get to do because Brian's not here.
Yeah.
He's not a big fan of the...
Of Loverboy?
Well, no, of Loverboy he is, but not this one.
Oh.
So not working for the weekend, but...
That's because he works too much. He's working for more work.
The man,
so he takes it personally.
He has spent a decent amount of time in the service industry, and I believe this one is overplayed at the
I spent 25 years in the service industry, and I can say the interesting thing is that, you know, different religions have their Sabbaths on the different day, right? Traditionally, I think a lot of Muslims have their Sabbath on the Friday, and for observant Jews, it's Saturday, and Christians, it's Sunday, and for the service industry, it's Monday. That's our Sabbath.
That's your Sabbath. Gotcha.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. But we got a story that we're going to dive into about working for the weekend, giving some updates about the economy going on here in the state of Wisconsin and the nation abroad. But we're also taking calls. So up next, we got Dick from Madison chiming in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Well, when you talk about voting, how do you guys feel about people that are in prison? I think they should be able to vote, personally. If not for sure people incarcerated, for sure people in minimum security that are maybe a few months from getting out. I mean, first of all, when you're in prison, the whole thing should be you're getting rehabilitated to get back out. And what better way, and on the way out, let's say you're in a minimum security situation, than teaching people that this is a civic right you have now.
I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah. No, the fact that we take away the right to
vote. You
know,
it'll never happen in this state for certain.
You know,
but I truly believe there's probably a lot of those people that are incarcerated, there's probably a quarter of them in prison right now that would be more knowledgeable on who to vote for crying out loud.
Dick, I'm an eternal optimist. I think, you know, especially, you know, this might sound jingoistic, but I'm an American and not an Americant, and I mean that to my core. You know, we split atoms and we send people to the moon and back. The only thing that stops us from progress is us telling ourselves that we can't. And I think that not only should inmates be able to vote, we should also, maybe as a stepping stone towards that, make sure that they're counted in the census in the place where they came from and not in the places where they're incarcerated, because Republicans tend to build prisons in their backyard in order to bump their census count. It's like antebellum slavery in a different way, that it's... They're just trying to get apportionment for people who can't vote, and it's not right.
No, the prison industrial complex could definitely use a number of reformations to it, and allowing individuals in prison to be able to vote, I think, definitely falls in that category. And then up next, before we dive into our last story of the day, we got a CJ of Madison calling in. CJ, what's on your mind today?
Well, I guess, hi, guys. First, thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering if you guys believe in the voting drive that the Democrats are operating at the border.
Do you have evidence of that, or did you read that on a website? I mean, did you go down to the border, or what are you even talking about? Because I'm a very involved Democratic activist, and I'm pretty sure that I would caught wind of something of this. So I'm just curious, is it OAN, or where'd you hear about it?
Well, all you got to do is look and see 2 million undocumented voters that.
Where'd you get that number from, though?
Allowed in. And you know, do you believe in voter ID?
You know what? I believe that you've bought a sale of goods, and that you believe it in a heartfelt manner. And I believe that if you really explored things with a more open mind, you'd realize that, you know, maybe the world is not the objective reality is not your subjective reality.
Well, so you're saying, no, you don't believe in voter ID. You need an ID to get a vaccine.
You're putting words in my mouth now because you're losing an argument. And I understand why it's difficult for you.
All right, and that's going to be enough of CJ for this afternoon. CJ, I mean, if voter IDs were easy and accessible and free to every voter, and you didn't have to, you know, go to a DMV that's only open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday and has no hours availability to able to go.
A lot of them are open like one day out of every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's not even that. Right.
So there are some constraints. If enough people want to go out and legislate, and they send individuals to a state legislature that says, yes, in order to secure elections, you have to provide a proof of voter ID to vote, fine. But you can't make that a fee that is a
poll tax.
An improbable burden or hurdle for them to overcome. And so there's a number of your arguments. And again, I'm with Jesse. You don't go out here spewing that 2 million illegal voters are coming across the border to vote for Democrats.
Come at me, CJ. Come at me. I'm here,
because
baby.
Those numbers are just being brought out of thin air. But a number that isn't being brought out of thin air, Jesse, is here in Madison. We've got an employer that is raising their base wages for the second time in the last 2 years.
Yeah, so, and not by a little. Like, the second bump was $3 an hour from 20 to 23.
And the first bump was $5 an hour. It went from 15 to 20. So
I got to say this, for, you know, the way that these larger, this is American Family Insurance, for those who don't know, their headquarters is here in Madison, Wisconsin. And, you know, things that happen by large employers and also union contracts per se, also, they spill out into the broader labor market. And for those capitalists out there who don't believe me, the socialists can explain supply and demand to you in a labor market. But I always love doing that. But yeah, this
takes a little bit longer than a short segment on a radio show, though.
Yeah, we don't have time for that in this segment. But another time, sit down and have a beer, and I'll tell you all about supply and demand. But this is what happens. This has basically been like a slow rolling workers' strike, and it's working. And this is, if nothing else, the pandemic has shown the strength of workers when they're not going to put up with garbage anymore and wages are going up. So people can gripe about inflation all they want, but wages are also going up. So
I would
does
say
it matter?
That you can't gripe about inflation all you want, because the biggest thing about this is companies, the biggest companies in the country, can't boast and be proud about record profits and then also complain about inflation, because the fact that these companies are experiencing record-breaking profit years end over end in the middle of a pandemic, it means that somebody's holding on to the money then, and that's what's causing the inflation. It's not necessarily government spending that's making this happen, because again, Build Back Better is stalled. It has not gone through.
And that's price gouging. It's not even inflation, right?
Right.
It's price gouging that's being deliberately masked as inflation to hide the motive away from
taking advantage of the fact that the COVID-19 pandemic has not been ended yet, because enough people haven't gone out to go get vaccinated and wear a mask when they're in areas of high transmission, which the entire state of Wisconsin pretty much still is. And so things like that continue the pandemic, which continue the ability for these companies to say it's inflation that's causing it, rather than the fact that they are just, in some cases, price gouging. Yeah. So, folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Really appreciate my friend Jesse filling in this afternoon for Brian as he is off continuing to set up the Shaw's new studios out there in Waukesha. If you missed any portion of this great show, you can go check out the podcast at devilradio927.com. And Jesse, hopefully, Brian's going to be busy, so let's just plan on...
I'll just go back to my cot in the basement here at the Solidarity Studios, and then, you know, when you need me, just come wake me up.
There you go, yeah. I'll come find you around 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Talk to you all then. Devil's Advocates coming up next.